In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will always remember the last day of January of 1991 as if it were yesterday. The reason being was that as I woke that morning, I knew that I had 4.5 hours of surgery, long-awaited surgery, out in front of me, and it would be the first time since I was just shy of 5 years old and a tonsillectomy that I would be under general anesthetic. And I remembered very well the very unpleasant experience it was coming out of anesthetic, even though I was such a young person, and that was certainly on my mind. But also on my mind were the usual realities of a day like that. I knew the surgical team had a nationwide reputation, and the surgery that was about to be accomplished was one that was growing more familiar to people. It was being done more often. But I also had out in front of me the reality that even though we were just in our first year of existence as a tiny little mission congregation, that I had been told that there were 9.5 months of therapy reality out in front of me as well. So I had a lot on my mind. Had a lot on my mind in regard to how this would all flow, and Dr. Payne, who was my anesthesiologist, I don't exaggerate, that was actually his name, spelled with a Y, joked about the whole process of going under and how easy it would be, and yet at the same time, far more comforting was a blessing that the Lord allowed me that day that was not expected, was not intended, but was very much appreciated. A portion of scripture that had been a meditational reality, a comfort. Psalm 91, available to me because of reading it, but also because of the fact that it was the theme of a Christian contemporary song that had been popular a number of years earlier, that in its chorus, in its themes of verses, repeated over and over again the reality of God's angels watching over us, doing the things that were necessary to keep us safe. It kept just running through my mind all the while until I was under, and remarkably, it was really the first thing that was there for me on my mind, what I was thinking about as I came to again in recovery. Very much appreciated those realities, the comfort provided. God's word is real. It's true. It's intended for our comfort. It's intended for our purposes. It's intended for the realities of our lives. And I would submit to you that Psalm 91, assigned to this day, the festival of St. Michael and All Angels, is an impenetrable refuge in our moments of need, of adversity, of pain, or any other kind of challenge. So while we sang selected verses from that psalm as part of the psalm of the day, or the choir sang them and we responded, I'd like to read the entire psalm for you now. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will deliver him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I have been blessed throughout my life to have heard the testimony of so many fellow Christians who have definitively experienced in their own minds the care, the concern, the deliverance of angels in moments where they so desperately needed it. Hospital waiting rooms, counseling situations, funeral days, wedding days. These different realities of my life as a pastor have afforded me all kinds of opportunities to hear all kinds of testimonies to big days of life, remembered, reminisced upon days of life. And it shouldn't be a surprise to you that as I prepare for a day like this, the Festival of St. Michael and the angels, all angels, to speak with you about words of God such as this, that I would have on my mind and my heart the recollection of so many accounts. It might surprise you as to the reasons why I'm fascinated by this topic matter, but certainly one of the reasons would be that I've had my own moments in life. But if I shared them with you right now, you'd be nodding in the reality that because of the circumstances in which I found myself defying death by no doing of my own, without any ability to answer with any human answers as to how I survived, there's only one answer possible. That in those moments, the Lord and his angels attended me. Whether it's missionaries or veterans of military conflict or perhaps law enforcement or those who serve us in fire and rescue, when you talk to Christians who have been at the front lines of meeting the needs of others in dangerous and compromised and even violent situations, they so often have to share with you accounting of elements of what they've experienced that cannot be explained, that have no human answer as to how the circumstances turned the way they did to the benefit of someone or a group of people. If you doubt, if you do not have certainty in your mind the existence of God's holy angels and their willingness and their ability to serve you in any given moment, to be the answer that you need to your prayers, to apply themselves, their unlimited resources, their unimaginable power to the concerns of your moment and your life and your eternity, seek out and listen to those who are the first to respond to the tragedies and the violence and the unpleasantries of life, who are Christians who have seen and know, and you will come to realize they know full well what the psalmist is speaking of in these verses. What is common to this list of all the ways that the angels serve us? Have you heard the verses enough? Have you studied them enough in your lifetime to have a feel for what's common? Whether it's pestilence or violence, whether it's temptation or disease, it's security, plain and simple. It's our need at the core of our hearts and our souls to know with certainty that things are under control, that someone is guiding all of this, and that someone is powerful, almighty powerful, knowledgeable, wise, concerned, and invested in each one of us individually, every moment. Find that right here. You can label them differently. You can see them as issues of past generations and history, but ultimately, what we're told here is not only the answer of God to the challenges we face, but to what degree the victory will be ours in those moments. God intends for you and I to be certain, to be ready to surrender to the reality of His control, His care and concern, His promises. So what is the biggest threat to our security? The answer is more simple than you might think. It's sin. Whether it's our own sins or the sins of the people around us or the sin in general that permeates our world, sin is the cause of violence. Sin is the cause of pain. Sin is the cause of disease. Sin disrupts personal relationships and community relationships and even national relationships. Sin is the cause of every reality of brokenness and violence. Everything on this list that we might fear all comes back to the same reality. And there's no human being that rightly should think they can look sin in the eye with answers and defy sin to interrupt their life with a moment of pain or violence or uncertainty. No one has that answer. Or do they? Who is it that has an unbroken history of success, of mending and defending all issues regarding sin and its consequences? Is it not our Savior God? Our Savior Jesus Christ, His commander of His angels Michael and all the angel hosts that are at God's disposal in any given moment to undo this curse momentarily as they lead us on this journey, caring for us and communicating with us through the Word in a way that helps us understand that the ultimate victor against sin, who has lived in our place and died in our place and risen for us as the payment for our sin, has taken all guilt away, is the one who commands these resources available to us. Too often our busy, diversified lives have us running so fast and so far that we forget the simple truths, the simple central realities that God would have us rely on as He communicates them to us over and over again. So often in our minds as New Testament Christians living in the fulfillment of all of God's promises, we think of the New Testament as the place to turn for all the application of God's truths to our lives, and we neglect to remember the Old Testament, such as Psalm 91 here, has spoken to the realities of human lives for thousands of years. And while we may relabel and recategorize what's presented on these pages from Psalm 91 as the possible thieves of security for us, I dare you to find anything here that doesn't speak to the issues of your life and my life right now in the world we live today. Join to these verses if you want something from the New Testament, such as Romans 8, where Paul talks about
how nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And he makes a list very similar to this list of all the things that may upset us, all the things that may compete in our lives for God's grace and that assurance, and how none of it, nothing, ever can separate us from the love of Christ. He wants us to know this security. He wants us to see that no matter what the situation may be in any given moment facing us, challenging us, pounding us down, there's one first place to turn. Because to the one we turn with all wisdom and all power at his disposal, we find answers like none other. We're used to seeing people of power, of influence, of wealth walk through this world with a security detail surrounding them, with people trained through experience in combat or law enforcement or as CIA agents that have physical training and intellectual knowledge, the ability to observe human behavior and situations and keep that individual they are guarding safe. And that kind of security costs a whole lot of money. But do you realize, on a daily basis, you have a personal security detail that knows human nature far better than any paid resource, any experienced protector of the human dilemma? Do you realize every day, everywhere you go, it's not just one guardian angel? It is all of the angels of Christ at his command, ready, available, and willing to protect you, to keep you safe. It's important for us to recognize all that Christ was willing to do to pay for our forgiveness and our salvation, everything that he was willing to undergo should lead us to understand his unique and individual interest in each one of us every moment of our lives, so that we will understand also this reality. That he's not just concerned about us joining him in heaven someday. He's concerned about every single step of the way there. And he doesn't promise that he will be at our beck and call. No, he promises that he will be with us. Not ahead of us, not behind us, but right with us. Walking with us every moment, with his angels also at his command, doing everything necessary for every single thing that would compromise our lives and eternity to be handled by them, not us, in a way that leads to the eternal outcome of our living with him forever. And their ultimate duty, their ultimate responsibility, actually will occur the moment after you take your last breath, when they are the ones that bear your soul to the heavenly presence for eternity. That's something no human security detail will ever have the ability to promise you. They cannot be overcome. They cannot be overwhelmed. We've had evidence in the scriptural lessons this morning of the violent interaction that occurred long ago. In every case that Satan and his evil angels come head to head with Michael and our Savior Jesus Christ and his legions of angels, there's no doubt of the outcome of what it will be. So you and I, we have certainty. We have security in the promises of our God and his track record that prove those promises. So while we may be tempted to doubt, we may be tempted to test, we may be tempted to question, God pulls us back over and over again to portions of Scripture like this to hear his promises. Promises that will warm our hearts and overwhelm our fears and give us certainty, no matter what we may be facing, of the security that is ours in our relationship to our Lord and his word and the angels that he commands. I pray that you join me in praising our God for the fact that our ancient Christian forefathers determined how valuable it would be for just one day a year to cut through all the nonsense and busyness and distraction of our lives, to focus us on this reality, this simple reality that is beyond our understanding, so often beyond our notice and our concern, that whether we're thinking about it or not, every moment of every day, every step on our journey to eternity, our God has surrounded us with security. His saving word, his saving power, and the angels at his command. A security that is the best security possible. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.